Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am Ursula Rudenberg, one of your hosts for today, and I have a very special co-host with me. Bob Anders is here. You may know Bob from his regular show on KHOI, Bob's 8-Track Garage Sale, which is on Thursdays.
Thursday morning at 11 a.m.
Yes, sir. Or you may just know him because he's a great guy to know in Ames. A lot of people do. And Bob is actually also a board member at KHOI. Thank you for being here on Local Talk today, Bob.
Thank you. It's great being here on the other side of the table.
So Bob has joined us today for Local Talk for a very particular reason. Not that he ever needs one. But once again, it is that time when Iowans go to churches and schools and other humble settings like living rooms and God knows where else, and we all make history with all eyes on us. We fascinate. We mystify. Some people kind of think of us as the Norman Rockwell of democracy. And we generally just make everybody in the country kind of nervous in kind of a charming way. You guessed it. We are talking about the Iowa caucuses. Bob, you've been to a lot of them, and you like them, right?
I love the Iowa caucus. When you think about putting someone in the White House, in the courthouse, in the Supreme Court, any number of places, the Congress, we always think of the idea of going in and casting your vote and going home. Well, in Iowa, it's much different.
Not that simple.
It's not that simple. But it's more wonderful because this whole process comes right down to you, to your friends and neighbors, primarily your neighbors, because the caucuses are based on precincts. And we all live in a precinct, and here in the state of Iowa, precincts are determined by geographic boundaries. So the precinct is where the Iowa caucus starts. And I've been going to these things for 40 years.
But it's interesting because even for people that go to a caucuses a lot, it still remains kind of a mysterious process, and it definitely mystifies people outside of Iowa. And if I understand it correctly, you were actually able to discuss the subject with no less than the President of the United States.
Actually, I discussed the subject with a senator, Senator Barack Obama.
And he was mystified as well, right?
He was mystified.
So tell us what happened.
Well,
first of all, what were you – when were you with Barack Obama?
Well, this happened when – now President Obama was running for president in his very first term. And I got a call from a friend of mine who is actually volunteering for the Obama campaign, and they needed a driver to drive the president from my hometown of Iowa Falls down to Des Moines. And I was responsible for getting a car, making all of the arrangements, and I basically was a driver for the then Senator Obama and his family. His family was in a bus, but I drove a car, and there were other, if you will, people of interest in the car with him. And on the trip that I started in Iowa Falls, drove to Ames, and then from Ames to Des Moines, where his to the airport where he left on a plane. The Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller was in the car with us, as well as the Treasurer of Iowa, Michael Fitzgerald.
Describe the discussion about the caucuses.
Well, we went to an event in a house in Iowa Falls, and then we got in the car, which was a basic soccer mom unit. There was a guy in the front seat packing iron, though, I will say. He did have a guard. And it was very interesting. Senator Obama, first thing he said, explain to me how this thing works. How does the caucus work? I know it's different from a primary. How does it work? And the Iowa Attorney General got into a long discussion that lasted from Hubbard darn near to Story City, talking about the caucus process. I think it's interesting. All over the years, I've attended caucuses. The first caucuses I attended were in a township fire department that was in a town of 20 people out in the middle of north central Iowa. Democrats were in the fire station. The Republicans caucused in the co-op elevator office. And this is awesome. This is totally grassroots. I mean, this is where you have no more than 20 people attending these caucuses. Some of the less interesting caucuses, of course, are the non-controversial times, the non-presidential meetings when you set up your platform for your congressional people.
We're very pleased today to have three distinguished guests that are going to be joining us. Brett Barker is coming from the Republican Party for Story County, and George Ensley is actually with us now. He's chair of the Boone County Democrats. Thank you for joining us, George.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we have some experts in the rooms today. So during this hour, we won't actually be looking at candidates. We're going to be looking at the caucuses and what actually is going to happen on February 1st and what it all means. George, let's talk a little bit with you. Thank you for coming over. And you live in Boone?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us first, how did you even become chair of the Democratic Party in Boone?
Oh, no, I don't want to. That's, just by getting out there and really, you know, doing what was asked and knocking on doors and pitching in and helping out and, you know, just getting really involved. And it's been a real kind of a fun journey.
Oh, really? What's fun about it?
Well, sometimes I like to say it's kind of like sitting on a throne of swords. You know, you got to kind of watch how you move around a little bit, too, because you can get bit. But you get to see a lot of people, talk to a lot of people.
What's the fun part? I get the story.
The fun part, yes, I've seen and talked, you know, one-on-one to, you know, Bernie Sanders and O'Malley and Hillary and mm-hmm. you know, it's just
so you really get a chance to see everybody up close.
Oh, wow. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, way close.
That's the beauty of Iowa, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. And it, I also got to say, hey, thanks for inviting me over here. And I was looking forward to hearing some more stories about, you know, Brock and Tom Miller and so forth about the caucuses. And actually, 40 years of experience in the caucuses is more than I got. And I was just going to sit back and listen here for a while and see what was going on. But
well, we'll tap Bob's institutional memory here of the caucuses. How many caucuses have you participated in?
Actually, I'm kind of a neophyte compared to him. Just the first one I really got involved with was Obama in, 2008.
Yeah. Are you a native of Boone? Or you?
Yeah, I'm a native of Boone. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, we'll say Boone County. I've lived in every section of the county. Started up in the northwest side and then went to the Ogden side and then to the Boone side. So I've lived every place now for at least a decade or more.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the Democrats. How actually does the platform get built for the Democratic Party? The caucuses are not only about the candidate themselves. They're about the planks and the platform for the party as that process begins as well.
Right, right. Not only do you get a chance to make your voice heard as far as who you want to lead the country and things like that, you also get a chance to have your voice heard as what kind of legislation do you want to enact? What kind of policies do you want set? And that's where the platform comes in at. And at the caucus level, the first thing that basically happens after you get registered, and it's just in the Democratic caucus, it's just Democrats. So if you are Republican or independent, you do have to switch, okay, to the Democrat. But after the process of, figuring out who you want for president, stuff like that, there's a second, actually really, really important process also as far as the policies again. And like I say, at the caucus level is actually pretty darn simple. You can almost write it on the back. What happens there is that the precincts kind of get together, and part of the process is to ask, what kind of ideas do you have for our county and our state and our nation? And
now, when you
down.
Say get together, are you talking about on caucus night, or does this – what happens prior to caucus night? You must go in there with some sort of –
That would be kind of online. It's kind of like organized chaos. And
so do you have meetings with the state party or with other county chairs to discuss the platforms of the caucus of the party?
Okay. Step number one is caucus night. If you as a individual, can submit what you think would be a good platform or a good plank for the platform, and it starts at the caucus level.
So it starts at the caucus.
Right, and then, a week or two later, then it kind of goes to the county. There's a group, the county platform committee kind of gets together, and they'll go over all the different planks that were submitted. And obviously when you get, if there's like, 80 different planks submitted, there are some that will be kind of similar, and that's where the platform committee at the county level kind of starts filtering things and combining things.
Now, as the chair of the party in your county, are you involved with that committee then?
I think I'm involved with every committee, it seems like, but yeah. So
that'll be partly your job to go through that afterwards?
I want to do my best to, have the platform committee chairperson take care of as much of that as possible, you know.
So who makes up the committee if it's not the chair people?
The people, basically, we look for volunteers.
And, so it's just volunteer Democrats who get together and they say, okay, we're the platform committee for Boone County.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. It has to be approved. If you volunteer, I'm 99% sure you will be approved. We don't have a paid staff at the Boone County Dems.
Yeah. This is a truly grassroots process where literally anybody who's a registered Democrat will go to a caucus and be able to bring their issue to that caucus and see themselves as the starting point for the Democratic Party platform.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it covers all sorts of things from agriculture and the environment. You can talk about the economy or education. There's a lot of really important educational issues out there. You can also talk about government and I'm sure guns will probably be another mm-hmm. plank on the platform. Right on down to international affairs like, Palestine-Israeli, we'll say opinions on that, mm-hmm. and trade. If you got a topic in mind, it can be covered, you can construct a plank to mm-hmm. go along with it.
Do you find that in your experience when people have come to these caucuses that they are educated on the topic, that they've researched it prior to getting there, or do you have people coming kind of starting at the beginning just with some kind of random opinion?
Both. You did a real good job there. I mean, you got people who've been in that business and know that or know that particular issue inside and out. And there's other people and they've researched it, and they do have opinions as to how to make the process better. And there's other people that they don't. There's one gal I'm kind of thinking of. She's as far as what do I want to call it? Shelter dogs. There we go. And, she's really wanting to clamp down on dog breeders and stuff. And you get her talking, and she can talk for hours about that. And there's people like that about all sorts of different issues.
So she wants one of the planks on the platform to address animal cruelty or puppy mills?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. the puppy mills.
Mm-hmm.
But, and you'll find people that are passionate about all sorts of different subjects like that.
You're absolutely right. There are folks who have single issue ideas. And George, I've seen, like you say, you've got the puppy mill person can go on for hours. You've got people who object to a certain highway construction project that affects their farm personally, and they're going to introduce a platform about eminent domain, or the pipeline now is an issue about eminent domain. But this creates a challenge for the people who are the temporary presidents or chair of the caucus. They have to maintain decorum, and they have to make sure these things are covered, people vote, and move on.
Is this your job?
Yeah, that's part of my job. And one thing I will say that we're kind of addressing it this year, if a person wants to submit a platform, basically we're just going to say, get it written down. We're going to accept everything, okay, which will kind of help move it along, we feel, quite quickly on caucus night, where the dissecting and the big discussions will be happening is going to be at the platform committee meetings.
When do you require people to write this down? Are you going to say this to them when they get to the caucus? They'll have paper, and if you have something, write it down,
yeah.
Or you have to submit it prior?
No, they don't have to submit it prior. Like I say, step number one is registration. Step number two, you form your caucuses and who you want to be the next leader of the free world. And then you go into precinct chairs and the secretaries, help guide the group through people that want to be on the central committee. So there's probably people that want to get involved, like I did.
The central committee is the basically the Story County Democrats, the party itself.
They're kind of the guiding group at the county level. They're the people responsible for coordinating and raising some money for their group, making sure that we got people running for the different offices and so forth. And they're also the go-between the state and the local.
Let's follow this path then. So the caucuses occur. People come with their issues. You ask them to write them down. And presumably you somehow organize way discussion groups for people to be able to actually talk about this with each other?
And
you give them some sort of time frame during the evening to when they have to finish?
Our goal is to get over in an hour. Okay. That's our goal. Okay. In a particular precinct, if there's like 10 people that want to submit planks, basically, it's just going to say, okay, Bob, do you have a plank in mind? And he'll say, yes, I do. And it's about the economy. I got, about trade, this Trans-Pacific Partnership. I'm against it. Okay. And I think the plank should be that we should have more safeguards for American workers or whatever it is. Okay. And we'll just say, well, thank you very much. And we'll just kind of look it over to make sure that we understand what Bob submitted.
George, as I understand also in the caucus, delegates to the county convention are elected, so to speak, or designated. And when you go to the county convention, you can be on the platform committee. There are committees that work on these platforms. They're the ones, as you say, George, that sorted and kind of get the repetitious planks out of the platform, merge them, and they send them on to the county convention. So when it goes to the county convention, you should have a representative sample of the planks that were presented at all the caucuses. Am I correct?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Well.
As the county chair, you are really not involved with developing the plank itself. Your job is to receive the ideas from other people during the caucuses.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so during the caucus, you receive all of these suggestions. And from what I understand, within that hour, there's not a whole lot of discussion about it. It's basically a process where people are submitting their recommendations to you?
Yes. Yeah, that's the way it works.
And then after the caucus, now we're talking about issues here, not about the presidential candidate.
Right.
After the caucus, it's the job of the platform committee to take, say, the puppy mill issue and to decide whether this constitutes a plank in your platform or not, or whether you can convert it into something that is a national issue.
First, you have, we'll just say the county platform with the issues. It gets passed up. Then that gets passed up to the district committees, which to be on the platform committee, even at the county level, there's a couple, three, four meetings that'll take place. And when it gets up to the district meeting, there'll be another couple, three, four meetings that you go to. And planks that get into the district, they go on down to the state, and the process is, again, there's a lot of discussion that goes on in the platform committees. It's the people that are on the platform committee probably work about as hard or just harder than about anybody else, any other committee I can think of, tell you.
The local Boone County Platform Committee, do they end up being involved all the way up
yes.
to the state level until yep. it becomes a state platform?
Yeah, I'm thinking at our county level, last time around, there was like, we'll just say, I think there were like 10 or 12 people that were involved in the platform committee. There was about like, what, two or three that were involved in the district. And I want to say there was two that were involved in the state level. And when you get down to the state level, the like I said earlier, we've got different categories like agriculture and environment or health and human services or internal affairs. And by the time you get up to the state level, And also at the district level, too, these are all international affairs. There's we'll call it subcommittees that look only at the international affairs planks, or there's a subcommittee that only looks at the education planks and so forth. You know, for the folks out there, if they kind of wonder, geez, what is all this stuff and how – it's really simple. Just go and Google Story County, Iowa Democratic Platform, and you will find it. Or you can Google Boone County, Iowa Democratic Platform, and it'll pop up for you real easy. And same thing with the state platform. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you kind of want to research it out just a little bit, just go to Google.
I also want to mention that we have kind of a rare opportunity to learn about the caucuses. Professor Stefan Schmidt from Iowa State is offering an online class about the caucuses. It's a four-week self-paced and interactive online course. You can really join it anytime between now and February 3rd. I think there's four classes involved, but you can kind of do it on your own time. Professor Schmidt is at Iowa State. He's a political science professor, better known as Dr. Politics. He wrote to extend an invitation to KHOI listeners to join his class. And to sign up for the course, you go to Iowa Caucuses MOOC, MOOC.org, or just Google Iowa Caucuses MOOC, MOOC, and you'll find his course. I'm one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, together with Bob Anders. And we are talking about the caucuses. And we've been speaking with George Elmsley from the Boone County Democrats. He's been explaining a little bit how the Democrats have built their platform, which basically you're saying begins at the caucuses and then works its way on up from there to the state level. And then presumably that gets taken to the national conventions.
Yes, that's the way it works.
Let's take a short musical break. Please stay with us.
Turn, turn, turn. There is a season turn, 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 and lay a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to to everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, a time of peace, a time you may embrace, a time to refrain from embracing.
Welcome back to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Bob Anders, one of your hosts, and my co-host Ursula Rudenberg has just discussed the Democratic caucus system with Boone County Democratic Chair George Inslee. Brett Barker is the chairman of the Story County Republican Party. And Brett, we would like to dig into the Republican caucus a bit and just develop how the platform is set up and how the caucus is executed.
And the platform process works pretty similar to the way the Democrats do with their platform. At the precinct levels where the planks initially come in, so when people go to their caucus, if there's an issue they feel strongly about that they want to make sure is in the platform, they should be prepared to bring that and present that to the caucus at their precinct level. The precinct then votes to send those on to the county level. And then we have a county committee for the platform that will then go through those. And basically the purpose of that isn't really to filter anything. It's more to consolidate. So if you have two planks that are very similar, they try to consolidate the language but still have the same spirit behind it. And so they go through that process, present a platform at the county convention, and then those delegates will go through and wordsmith and take things out or make changes, then approve what then goes on to the district. And then at the county convention, we elect representatives that will serve on the district platform committee. And so their main job is to then ensure that the platform that Story County has passed is reflected then at the district. And then the same thing happens then from district to state. So there will be a platform committee then at the state whose job is to take the platforms that come out of the four districts and put those together to present to the state convention. So that's the way the platform process works. And really at caucus, there are four main tasks that we take care of. The first, obviously, and what's talked about the most is the presidential preference poll. So that That's task number one. But then we also elect central committee members for the county. So each precinct gets two people that are elected to serve at the county level year-round. And so our job at the county level is we organize the caucuses. We organize the convention. We work for get out the vote in the fall and make sure that our voters are aware of where to go vote and all of those types of things. We also select delegates to the county convention. And so that varies based on the typical Republican turnout in the precinct. So it's proportional. So it could be three people, five people, but a handful of people then are elected out of each precinct to then go to the county convention, whose job is to go through the platform.
And the county convention happens after the caucuses?
Correct. Yep. That will be – it's Saturday, March 12th is when the county convention will be. And then the fourth thing at caucus is the platform. So then at county convention, the jobs are to go through the platform there and also then elect delegates that then go on to the district. And then there's a district convention, state convention. So there's basically it starts at caucus, which is almost like a precinct convention, and then it goes county, district, state. So four different levels.
So truly, this is a grassroots system that has developed here in the state of Iowa.
Mm-hmm, very much so.
It's pretty amazing. And it's, as I discussed earlier, when we think about electing an official, whether it's for Congress, for state representative, state senate, or president of the United States, it's not as simple as just going and casting a vote. If you want, you can get in on the ground level.
Correct. And the way the Republican Party does the presidential preference poll is pretty simple, and it's not very intimidating at all. It's basically like casting a vote. So you do fill out a ballot. You put it in a secret box. Nobody knows who you voted for. Those get counted, tabulated. And then we report those with a smartphone app this cycle. But as far as the actual presidential poll, it is pretty simple, and I would encourage people who haven't been to caucus to go give it a try. Our volunteers make it super easy, and it's easy to follow along with what's going on and figure it out. So it's important not to make it be more intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Brett, I went to the Republican caucus during the last presidential cycle, mm-hmm. and what I witnessed was that after the, you know, there was the vote for the mm-hmm. presidential candidate, and then after that was finished, actually half the people left, but there was, you know, kind of the diehard mm-hmm. People interested in the democratic process. At that point, the platform was explained. Now, I didn't see the part. What I was wondering is how were those platforms submitted? Because I didn't see the process where people were submitting platforms or planks for the platform. It was just read to the group. So at what point were those submitted?
Typically, people can hand them in to the chair as they show up. And then we also open it up so people can hand in more. And a lot of times, the people that want to hand them in have already done so. So, and the case, the one you attended, there just may not have been any more planks that people had to hand in. But it is a completely open process where people uh-huh. can turn in any plank that they.
So people can submit their planks prior to the caucus?
When they show up.
When they show up.
Yep.
So people will show up with pieces of paper saying, this is my issue.
Yep. Some people already have them typed out. We'll have blank forms so people can fill them out as well.
And then during the meeting, presumably there's some group of people who's compiling all this for a presentation at the end of the meeting?
Yes. Yeah. We have a precinct chair and a precinct secretary, and so they'll compile those and then present those for discussion and vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. It's really quite amazing. Even as somebody who's used to the caucuses, it's still amazing to hear how really basic the process is starting at the caucuses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have another guest here with us. Lucy Martin from the Story County Auditor's Office is with us. And to kind of fill in some of the information about the mechanisms of how this actually works, one of the things I've learned in the process of preparing for election time this cycle here at KHOI is that it's really the auditor's office where all the information starts. And if you want to find out names of people or processes, the county auditor's office is the best source of information. So we went right to the source. And Bob, you want to start out with some questions?
Yeah. Lucy,
thank you for joining us.
I'd like to
You're
thank
welcome.
You. Lucy and I sort of share a common lot in that I am a former county supervisor and actually of Hardin County, and the Board of Supervisors works essentially hand-in-hand with the county auditor, who is designated by the Code of Iowa as the Commissioner of Elections. And Lucy, as the Commissioner of Elections, Your duties are spelled out in the Code of Iowa, but the caucuses are somewhat different. They're more of a grassroots, a party-based program. But at the caucuses, when people come in, they have to essentially register. How can we determine if they are an actual registered voter, Lucy?
Well, I want to start off. I have handed out to all of you the handout that we have on our front counter in my office right now. I also brought a copy of what's posted on our website. I do want to state the auditor's office has no official role in the organization and conduct of caucuses. That is a party function. We do work with the parties and we work with the voters to make sure that they have the information that they need, which is why we do post this. You must be registered to vote to caucus. You can register at caucus. You can change your party at caucus.
Just to be clear, are caucuses public events? Can anybody go, whether they are registered or not, to observe?
The parties have their own rules. My understanding is that observers are allowed. They have to identify themselves as such. What happens is that both parties at this point in time have pulled from the Secretary of State's office lists of registered voters. Those lists were pulled. I talked to the Secretary of State's office on Monday. The Democratic list was pulled December 9th, and the Republican list, I believe, was pulled December 23rd or later. So if you were registered in Iowa up to that point in your precinct, then you'll be on that list. Otherwise, Iowa unveiled online voter registration on January 1st, so some people might have been excited and registered to vote online. Those won't be on the list that the parties obtained from the Secretary of State's office. So if you fall into that period of time after the voter lists were pulled and when caucus occurs on February 1st, you might have to re-register at caucus even though you've already registered with the state of Iowa because lists are point in time information.
So you can register at the caucus itself?
Sure. And we've been fielding phone calls all week so far. People have come in to change their parties or get a registration form. You can pick up a form or fill one out on a website, print it off, and take it with you to caucus if you're unsure. All registered voters in Iowa are mailed a voter registration card, so you should check that to make sure that it's up to date. You can always call my office if you're in Story County or Phil Meyer if you're in Boone County or any county auditor and check your registration status.
Stupid question, but is it possible to register for both parties?
No, you can't. So you have to select a party.
If you go to the caucus and you say, okay, I want to register to be part of the caucus, do they have a way there of checking to make sure that, in fact, you are available for the party?
Well, when you register, you have to select one party or no party at all. So if you go there and you're not on their list, then you would have to re-register with the party of your choice, and then you would be re-registered with that party. And if you want to change it back, you have to do another registration form later.
Yeah, I was getting to that. I was thinking about that, Lucy. A lot of people have a candidate preference, and they may be a registered independent. And so they want to support a candidate, so they go to the caucus and they would change they would register as a Republican, let's say, for example, if they have a candidate and that they want to support, and they would participate in the Republican caucus and do the preference vote, work on the platform, what have you. And let's say this person has always been an independent candidate or a non-declared voter.
The preferred nomenclature is no party, is what we auditors refer to it.
Okay.
But so people say independent a lot.
I'm a no party voter, and I go to a caucus because I feel compelled to participate in it. And after that, if I kind of forget that I was supposed to go back and re-register as a no-party person. And then I go to my local precinct on election day.
Which election, though?
The general.
Okay. On the general election, your party has no sort of influence over what registration or ballot you get. In a primary election does your party count. Only then is it checked. Sometimes people will do that. They will vote in a caucus or they will go to a primary and select a party and then – but in their mind, they're a no-party person and they go and they see on the register that they're listed as, you know, either Democrat or Republican and they change it back. You can change your registration anytime you want. You can change it at the polls on election day, but it has no bearing on your vote at a general election. Mm-hmm. So you're not required to vote for the party that you declare on your registration either. Sometimes people say, well, I'm registered with this party. Does that mean I have to vote for all those candidates? And the answer is no. You vote for whom you choose.
One other quick question. Ames is in Story County, Boone County as well, is a very transitional population county. We have students, we have visiting faculty, we have folks doing research here. Let's say I'm a resident of the state of Colorado. I'm registered to vote there. I want to go to a caucus, maybe out of curiosity or because I'm compelled to support a candidate. Can I do that?
Students are allowed to do that. So not just anybody is allowed to do that. For students and for residents in nursing homes, they don't. They can either choose the precinct where they're residing currently. So if it's your room in Buchanan Hall, or you can register to vote there, or you can register, say, like, you know, you normally live with your parents in Spirit Lake, Iowa. You can also choose to vote there or Colorado. That's something that's unique to students and also like military voters, people in nursing homes, homeless people.
If I'm a person who is working for the USDA, Department of Agriculture, and I'm here on a research thing that's lasting a month, does that kind of put me out of the picture? Because I'm not a student. I'm a Colorado resident, and I'm visiting Iowa for my work.
If you're temporary resident here, like you're living in a hotel for a known period of time, then I would say no. I mean, you can get really deep in the weeds on the voter registration law here, so I don't want to do that this morning because I haven't had enough coffee. But at first blush, I would say no. Okay, but if you're a student at Iowa State and you have a residence here, you can choose. And then we always say, where do you lay your head at night? Where do you sleep at night? That is what determines your voter registration. We have election day registration in Iowa because we don't have a residency requirement. You don't have to live in Iowa for 30 days for voter registration purposes to be considered an Iowan.
So it does seem like a lot of technicality, but in fact, your office, the auditor office, is ultimately the bottom line. In these elections.
Well, the code of Iowa is the bottom line.
Right.
And my county attorney would, be the bottom line for me or the attorney or counsel at the Secretary of State's office. We, as auditors, we do get into these, philosophical discussions. What does this mean? There are occasions come up all the time like this where we have to untangle things and really study to see how it would be applied. Most people are not that complicated, mm-hmm. but we do get questions like that.
But there have been problems with elections in the past, so ultimately these issues do count at the end of the day when
the votes come in.
Well,
that's what we have for all elections, and that's separate from caucus because caucus is not an election. I can't stress mm-hmm. that strongly enough. It's a party function.
Getting back to the caucuses, Brett and George, do you decide where the meetings are going to be held, or does the county decide that?
We do as a party. And in Story County, each party has to identify homes for 43 different precincts. And so that's actually quite a bit of a challenge to put that puzzle together, to find space big enough, to find space that fits within our budget, because we are obviously nonprofit. So we're operating off of donations, and so we don't have a lot of funds to pay large rental amounts. And then this time we also found that a lot of the churches we've used in the past were uncomfortable having a political function this cycle, which was unfortunate from our point of view. So
why is that?
They're just afraid of IRS rules and things like that. And I think a lot of it's unfounded, but that's some of the mentality out there. So we had to had to change from some of the traditional places we've used in the past. But we do have homes for all 43 precincts now, and we'll be putting those up on our website later today.
Mm-hmm. So you have you have one caucus per precinct?
Correct, yep.
And George, is that the same case with the Democrats?
Yeah, we have locations for all the different precincts to go to. And again, it's kind of mirroring what you said. But yeah, we do have it on our Facebook page as far as, you know, if you're in Ward 3, you go to the high school or whatever.
We have that posted on our site, too. That's one thing that we do.
Yeah. Why don't you give that website?
The Story County website is storycountyiowa.gov, and then you go to the auditor's page, and we have a caucus page. I will say that public buildings are required by code to provide caucus sites for no charge.
I just have one final question for George and Brett. The final results of the caucus, Brett, in the case of Republicans, it's a tally. It's a number of votes for different candidates.
Correct.
Where does that go?
We'll have a precinct reporter who has their cell phone number that's been registered with the state party. And so only that phone is able to report results. But there's a smartphone app this time. And so you'll go through and say, Donald Trump got this many votes. Ted Cruz got this many votes. You'll plug them all in, submit those. It'll go straight to the state. So they'll have pretty quick and immediate results. We'll still have all the paper forms, the legal documents signed off on that then get picked up and go through the traditional process.
And those essentially do not be reported to the auditor.
They end up at the state party. And then from there, I don't know if they report back at any point. But ultimately, we collect all of our information caucus night and get it down to Des Moines the next day so that they'll have it all. The state party wants to have everything in hand the next day in case there's any recount or it's really close like last time. They want all those documents they can go through. But because of the international attention on the caucus, they want the quickest results possible. So that's why we have the smartphone app so they all upload right away.
And what about you, George?
Actually, I got to mirror that pretty darn close to what the Republicans have. We do have a smartphone app and a paper backup, and yeah, they want the results real quick.
In your caucus, you don't have Bernie gets this number of votes, Hillary gets this number of votes.
Yeah.
You have
it's a mathematical wizard test, I guess, or something like that. But you got to 15% to get viability, and so. Yeah, in the Democratic caucus, you actually get together in an area with a like-minded group of people. In other words, like Bernie people will gather over here, the Hillary people will gather over there, and then the O'Malley people, in our case, the O'Malley people will gather in a third area. And, basically a count, there's a formula out there, and I'm trying to remember all the – okay, like if 60 people show up from a precinct and there's a 15% viability, that means that there have to be at least 9 people for a candidate to be viable. Okay, so if that 9 people is not – if there's only 8 people that end up or less that end up being in a particular group, that group gets dissolved and those members can go to – a different group. They can realign, in other words. And there's also the option of non-committed also. But it's a little bit different than the Republican group. That's right.
Are you then also required to have the results in by the next day for the Democratic State Party?
Yeah, we have a smartphone app that goes in that night. And, yes, we do have registered cell phones for cell phone numbers for all the different precinct chairs, I'm sorry.
So one last question. Do you enjoy the process?
I'm still learning the process. it's going to be I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Like I said earlier, it's organized chaos, and we're taking – fortunately, we got a lot of really good people over there that I'm not worried about it. We got some – people have been through this process a number of times, and that's been our key, is to get them, find veterans. We're also getting people that haven't done this before, but we're also working hard on the training too, so that, mm-hmm. My primary goal is to get as many people there as possible, have as good of a caucus as possible, and have it as accurate as possible. And
okay, what about you, Brett? Do you enjoy the process?
Oh, I definitely do.
Why do you enjoy it?
I went to my first caucus as a student at the University of Iowa in 2008, and actually that was my very first time voting in Iowa, was for that caucus. And it just the grassroots nature of it and the lead-up to it. Mm-hmm. We're so lucky just having access to all the presidential candidates and being able to meet the candidates about both sides of the aisle. They're generally very accessible and they're around all the time. And it's pretty funny. Iowans joke that they can't make up their mind until they've met someone two, three, four times. And that's really true. Because we're blessed to be able to ask questions of that close.
And we're known to be sincere voters,
yep,
not strategic
much so.
Voters.
Yep.
Lucy, any last words? We'll give the county auditor the last word here.
Just if people have any question about their registration status, please feel free to call the office or check that. Also, if you need to know what your precinct is, it is printed on your voter registration card. You can also always call us to get the information.
And give the website again?
StoryCountyIowa.gov.
Okay, and we'll put a
link. Auditor and election page.
We'll put a link to that on our website as well at khoifm.org. Thank you to all of you. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we've been speaking with Lucy Martin, Story County Auditor and Story County Commissioner of Elections, George Ensley, who is chair of the Boone County Democrats, and Brett Barker, chair of the Story County Republicans. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us today. I feel like we could talk for another few hours and still, you know, discover new things about this process. I've been one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I've been here with Bob Anders, and who's been here. Thank you for joining us today for this hour. And if you would like to learn more about the caucuses, remember that Professor Stefan Schmidt is offering an online class on the caucuses, and it's open to everyone. It's a 4-week, self-paced, and interactive course that you can join anytime between now and February 3rd. And we will put a link. Finding it is a little bit complicated, so we will put a link on our website at khoifm.org. And remember, this Saturday from 1 until 4 p.m., KHOI will be doing live coverage of a forum for the Democratic candidates in Des Moines, Iowa.
And Local Talk is on KHOI FM, 7 a.m. and noon, and 7 p.m. You can also listen to today's entire show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at khoifm.org. Again, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about the people you've heard today and on the show, along with contact information. Local Talk is engineered by Rick Morrison. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from the CD The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you've heard was Turn, Turn, Turn by The Byrds.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. And congratulations for Bob for getting through your first Local Talk show. You also can be part of the team as part of our volunteer reporters will train you. And you will learn and really learn to enjoy our community as much as we do. It's a lot of fun. We get to talk to great people like we did today. If you'd like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or at our website, khoifm.org.
And if you enjoyed this show, tell your friends. Remember that your participation as an audience makes KHOI possible and meaningful. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the radio.